It was on sale. And I was like, well, that's a sign. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God,
let's get ready to rumble.
It's a pointless geek debate. We argue all the things geeks always argue about, and we decide who's right.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hi.
And Nick Glover.
Gronk.
Gronk indeed, because we are here for a nerd debate.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know. we're a little punchy this afternoon, but I'm going to tell you, we did not know what to do. And so we
we sat here for 20 minutes before we recorded.
And then we just started talking about nerd stuff, and we realized, let's just do that. So this is going to be the first episode of mini nerd debates. We are going to debate multiple topics, comical, canonical, geeky topics, and I am the decider for went to state in debate, you guys. Right. I'll have all you right. know. And
what if we agree?
I was the captain of the varsity debate team. If we agree, that's great. That can happen.
I'm as a true debater, I can argue any side. So
it's true. Nick's Myers-Briggs type is called the debater. He is an ENFP.
ENTP.
ENTP. Excuse me, everybody. Excuse me. All right.
Devil's advocate.
First.
I did my Myers-Briggs back in college, and I don't even remember what it was.
You should take it again. Everyone should. Go to 16.
Okay,
hold on. I'll tell you why, because there's better sites for it these days.
You know what? All right. That's a topic we can have sometimes, because some people swear that it's astrology. Like, it doesn't matter. It's bullshit. Whatever.
I don't know if it's astrology. I guess I just don't care.
I would love to talk about that sometime. 16personalities.com. That's all I'm going to say. All right.
All right.
Our first topic, which is a well-known one, is Star Trek versus Star Wars.
Star Trek versus Star Wars.
And I will say, I think for all of these, the idea is which is better.
Okay. Sure.
All right?
Okay.
Which is better, Star Trek or Star Wars? And I'm going to say right now I'm on the side of Star Wars.
All right.
But I also like them both very, very close to equally. So it's hard. But I like Star Wars better just because Star Wars has more of a space fantasy as opposed to a hard sci-fi.
Well, how can you be the decider if you're already telling us
I'm just saying what I think. You guys go ahead. I'm deciding based on your arguments.
Man. I think that the two are barely comparable because Star Trek is science fiction, ideally kind of a hard science fiction with this, you know, secular humanist, post-scarcity, high exploration, you know, very science or bullshit science oriented.
Right.
And Star Wars is fantasy.
All right, but they are comparable because they're large fandoms.
And they both have Star in the name.
They both have Star in the name. Yeah. They are arguably the most popular, like science-y, fiction-y sorts of fandoms.
All right, so I'm going to fall on this grenade.
All right.
I choose Star Trek.
Interesting.
All right.
I like both.
Of course.
But here's my argument in favor of Star Trek, one of it, which is longevity.
Mm.
Star Trek has been around longer than Star Wars. It has considerably more canon involved in what it's doing. They've really explored a lot of different aspects of the universe. The universe is much more defined in terms of understanding the various alien races. I mean, what do you understand about Wookiees aside from they're big and hairy and they can co-pilot starships?
They have a planet. They have a language. They have a culture. They have life day. They were an enslaved race of people with a history.
Most people don't know, as opposed to how much you can know about the Cardassians from watching the entirety of Deep
Space
Nine.
Just as much as Wookiees, if you've read. And I mean, here's the thing about Star Wars, if you're going to talk about depth of culture and history. Star Wars is fragmented. It has two sets of canon. It has this Legends canon, which includes a billion fucking novels and comics.
Which is technically not canon.
Right. I'm saying...
I know.
I'm identifying it as its own canon.
Yep.
And now there's this new, you know, canon that is kind of a 2005 forward... Clone Wars and Rebels and the newer movies and unfortunately the prequels, but I mean, Star Trek
for also has apocryphal billions of novels, also has comic books. There are more Star Trek
I think
Trek
we can
books.
Agree that we're tied on apocryphal novels outside. So,
there are more Star Trek books than there are Star Wars books.
And you know, I'm going to say Star Wars' weakness is the prequels. I mean, undoubtedly, the quality of some of the storytelling and you know, what happened there. But go back and watch original Star Trek. Guess what? 80% of those episodes are garbage.
No, it's more like 50% of those episodes. And but the point is, when you've got Star Trek, which is an episodic series, even series which I think aren't very good, like Voyager, there are episodes of Voyager that are exceptionally well done.
So you're saying every once in a while they do something great?
No, I'm saying on the series that are great, like Deep Space Nine, which is arguably the best Star Trek series.
Except the first season.
But fine, there were six more. And still, the last four episodes of season one are gold. They're gold.
Here's a point I want to make. Speaking as to religion, now Star Trek is much more the secular humanism.
It is.
Religion is garbage. Religious figures in Star Trek are seen as the enemy and are generally... even like the Bajorans, which aren't like the enemy, but they are seen as backwards and bad.
Their space is real. They're space Jews.
Whereas Star Wars, religion is literally not only true, but the only way to righteousness.
Well,
now, how does that factor into how you feel about it?
I think that...
Like, do you love Star Wars despite the religion or because of it?
Neither.
Do you like Star Trek because of its secular humanism or in spite of it?
I like it. I think that's one of the reasons I like it.
All right.
I wouldn't say that's the only reason. It all comes down to really good storytelling, and I'm not going to argue that either one of these have examples of good storytelling.
Or bad.
And bad storytelling.
Right, right.
It's just that I feel that overall the richness of the storytelling within Star Trek, because it's played out over so many movies, so many books, so many TV series, allows for, I think, a richer experience. There's more you know about characters when they're introduced, a lot of the time simply because of, I know a ton about Vulcans already.
Yep.
So when a Vulcan shows up, there's a bunch of baggage that I get.
So I feel like, at its best, a good moment in Star Trek is, aha, that was clever. At its best, a good moment in Star Wars is fucking magical and will make you cry.
All right, closing arguments. I'm going to start with Star Wars.
You said this wasn't going to be a real debate.
All right, hold on. Just if you could sum it up. If you could sum it up, what is it that makes you think that it's better? Just real quick. And obviously, there's nuance here. Just shut up. No one's tying us to anything. All right, Star Wars, sum it up.
Star Wars is a cultural phenomena that changed science fiction forever. It changed how movies are made forever. It changed special effects forever.
All right, Star Trek.
Star Trek is arguably the best science fiction television series ever created. And when you talk about Star Wars changing movies forever, Star Trek changed science fiction forever. And I'm not sure that Star Wars is possible without Star Trek.
Flash Gordon. Counterpoint, right. Flash Gordon.
All right. I honestly, this one I'm going to call a draw. I really do feel, because the more I think about it...
This is the worst episode
I'm
ever.
Sorry, but the more I think about it, the religious aspect of Star Wars makes it... Because, I mean, truly, Nick and I were just talking about this last night before going to bed, is that the aesthetic... I mean, especially in the prequels, the Jedi are horrifying monks who are religious zealots that are putting children into war for their ideals. And you could view it through a lens of religious extremism. extremism.
Won't allow their children to love and
right. There's a lot of
emotion. They haven't figured out how to resist the dark side if they fall in love with somebody.
And as much as you must, as much as I love, you know, Star Wars, I my heart says Star Wars, but my mind says Star Trek. So I gotta
call it. I feel the same way.
All right, I love them both. That was a very difficult debate. So well done, Nick.
All right, yes, shaking hands. All right. So now we're gonna go less of a debate and more of a general discussion. Your favorite Doctor from Doctor Who. Your favorite Doctor.
Oh, see.
I'll give you guys time to think, and I can say I can.
All right. I love the new Doctor Who. I mean, I'm not gonna say.
You mean the nine on?
The Eccleston
nine
on.
I love the nine on, but I started with the original Doctor Who.
And you never forget your first Doctor.
My introduction to Doctor Who was the fourth Doctor, Tom Baker.
Mine too.
Whom I love, but. Honestly, if I have to, and this has always been my answer, and it may feel like a cop out, but it really is my answer. My favorite Doctor is 3 through 5.
Okay, no, that's fair.
My favorite Doctor is John Pertwee, Tom Baker, and Peter Davidson.
Which is an answer because the Doctor is one man.
Yeah.
So your favorite aspect.
The transition of those three, I felt, was like one of the smoothest in terms of seeing the progression of how the Doctor changed, but was still the same character. So that's my answer.
All right.
So my favorite.
I'll combat that with a similar argument in a moment. But what I'll say is my favorite individual Doctor is Tom Baker. That's my first Doctor, and like Molly said, you never forget your first Doctor.
That's true.
I was raised watching Doctor Who on my dad's lap, and I loved K-9.
K-9 was adorable.
How can you not love K-9?
Yeah. But
it's a fucking robot dog.
If you're going to talk about an era of Doctor Who that is like the best era of Doctor Who, it's Eccleston Tennant. Because who watched Doctor Who? How big was that audience? How big was it as a pop culture phenomenon before?
In America, at least.
In Britain, even.
Yeah, okay.
But how much of a thing was it? How much did Doctor Who fucking matter on a large scale before those two? And I think that nothing encompasses the idea of Doctor Who as the madman in the box more than this dark, damaged, war-torn Eccleston in his leather jacket hiding that accent.
yes.
And really, like, there's very little of the will they won't they rose shit with him. And I just feel like you felt like he was a man who'd just come back from Vietnam, who'd seen some shit, and he wasn't all there. Yep. And then Tennant, to follow that up, was the best Doctor, he is the second best Doctor. He became more vulnerable. He that was his like character therapy to heal and recover. And then he healed to the point where he was able to let himself love. And I fucking hate the character Rose. I like Billy Piper,
well,
but I hate Rose.
You hate her, you hate what she became. Liked her at first.
Yeah, sure. But I realized that for the Doctor, that was great because he finally was vulnerable. And what happened? He got his heart dashed against the rocks.
Now, let me say what I loved about Rose. And there were things I didn't like and things I liked. But what I loved when they recreated the series was that Rose had a supporting cast of characters. It wasn't just Rose who is the companion.
She had a boyfriend and a mother.
You saw how her being the Doctor's companion impacted those around her.
Yes.
Which you never saw in the original series. And I really appreciated that they did that with that character.
So I want to weigh in and say that I didn't start watching Doctor Who until Tennant and after Rose. I watched the episode. I had just started dating Nick and I went over to his, where he was living, and they were watching live the episode where Rose and the Doctor get split. That last one where they're separated beyond dimensions. And everyone's crying and fucking freaking out. And I'm just like, what is this fucking show? And so I started watching with Martha.
Right.
And fell in love and loved Tennant.
The most underappreciated.
Yeah. So Tennant is my first
companion.
Doctor.
I love Martha.
My favorite Doctor, against all odds, is 11. I know.
Matt Smith?
Yes, Matt Smith. And I'll tell you why.
Frankenberry?
Yes. And at first I hated him.
Matt Smith.
I hated him. And I was like, what is this craziness? But the whole thing is his crazy, goofy, wackiness hides an undercurrent of rage and protectiveness and true, like, because he is so wacky and crazy and manic, that rage is also just as manic. But, and he had that, hold on, I didn't talk during yours. And so he had that whole, like, he had that manic rage that, you know, he's the one that said, like, when that being came to destroy Earth and he projected all the different faces of himself and was like, so you see what I am and you know what I've done. And you know what I'm capable of. And so he hides this actual anger and rage and terror underneath of a veneer of weirdness. I also really liked his relationship with Amy Pond. And that whole little girl who waited and came back for her, and Amy Pond was great.
Clara 1.0. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so for me, as the way you like 9 into 10, yeah. I really like 10 into 11. And I would say 11's my favorite. I love 10, but it was soured for me to I went back and watched a lot of 10 and then saw, you know, the Rose stuff and was like, oh, all right. But so the for me, a lot of it was soured because of that. And so 10 with Martha was great. And 10 with Donna was great.
Donna,
and the Bad Wolf shit is great.
Yeah.
And the way 10 goes is great. And his leaving, I'm not ready to go yet, and all that is wonderful. And then the way he turns into 11 is amazing. So for me, that's for me, I loved that all a lot.
That's fair.
10's introduction says everything you need to know about him. He is the madman who will push the button.
Yes.
Like, he's just as badass as 9 was.
Yep.
But he's not just like a hardened guy. He has some fragility to him.
I feel 11's introduction of what's this? Fish fingers and custard and give me this and give me that is indicative of him because he's willing to try anything.
Stupid slapsticky clown.
Yes, but then he's the one that they talk when they say things like doctor in our language means a murderer.
But they're like, talking about every doctor that preceded him.
Yes, which he very well embodies. He's just this one is the wacky one.
I don't know. I feel like
closing arguments.
Tim?
Well, I'm just going to say I stand by my first three. I enjoy the fact that you go from a very serious doctor to the more clowny Tom Baker, and then you transition back to that more serious doctor. I'm also going to say from the new doctors, the one that I don't feel gets enough time because he's barely in anything, but probably my favorite of the new doctors is the War Doctor. That's all I'm going
to say. Agreed. William Hurt's great.
Yeah, I want to see the War Doctor mini, War of the Daleks miniseries.
Yes.
That's something everyone wants to see.
I'll give my closing argument next, and you can finish up. Sure. How's that? So my closing argument is just that I think that a successful clown is often underrated, and I think a successful clown is often dismissed by people as being easy, and it is hard to make people both laugh and cry and feel things, and 11 did that, despite being one of the youngest doctors yet. In terms of the actor.
Wasn't he the youngest?
Yeah.
And being a goofy-looking motherfucker who looked like Frankenberry.
Just side by side, put a picture of Matt Smith and Frankenberry up, and you'll see
and
it.
And yet, like, his whole thing with Amy was very much like, she's just like, do I love him? What do I feel for this guy? There was never any romance with them. It was more of a, like, how can I love this is my best friend. Yeah. How can I marry another best friend? I don't know. Anyway, right. Nick.
So, I feel like comparing the modern doctors to historical doctors is tricky, dubious,
inherently unfair.
Very unfair. I'll say for the new doctors, I can't abide by a doctor played by an actor that's younger than I am. I don't like that.
Boo.
Also,
as you get older, is that going to be the same thing?
No.
I'll say
under 30. Let's just say under 30, 35.
Never trust anyone under 30.
But Matt Smith is great and all, but I liked the Cat in the Hat when I was a kid. Matt Smith is the Cat in the Hat.
That's true. All right.
And he's a kid's character. Even at his most serious and his most dark, the Cat in the Hat is a one-trick pony.
I find this interesting, since you said 4 was your first doctor. You'd think that you'd have more of a
4 was
for that.
A badass, too. He was Scarf Hat and Jelly Babies, but also he shot people.
I'm just saying, 11 was in the what's the cube? The I can't think of what it's called. The QB was imprisoned in 1,000 years. Anyway, all right. Next topic. We're going to go a little less pop culture-y. Now, I want to... Right. I'm going to have you guys... I'm going to recuse myself from this one because I have a professional interest. Board games versus video games. Mm. And now, you don't have to each take a side. I just want to know which one you like, but we can also talk about why the other ones is not as good. Board games versus video games.
I like board games more, and it isn't because I don't like video games. It's probably because I like video games too much. I don't have time for video games. Mm-hmm. If I get into a video game, that's hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. A board game is at most 3 or 4.
If you had the time. If you didn't have kids...
In an ideal setting.
If you had the time, if you could fit it in, like if this could be your hobby and you had the time... Like, let's just assume that time isn't a factor. You can assign time to either.
I still think I'd like board games because I think I'm better at them.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I think there feels like more variety to board games. There's more replayability. You know, once I play Legend of Zelda, and I love Legend of Zelda, and every time a new Legend of Zelda game comes out, I play it. But once I've found every single hidden thing in Legend of Zelda, it's over. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
Yeah.
Whereas I can play Legendary over and over and over again and have a different experience every time I play it.
All right.
So that's why I think I lean, again, these are tough calls, but yep. I lean towards board.
So, let's say you have the day off from work, and the day is all yours, and you get some recreational time. But it's a Tuesday, and none of your friends have the day off. You can go home and play video games.
True.
You don't need to read an instruction manual to sit down and play video games. There's no investment opportunity cost of the instruction manuals, the first game where you fuck things up.
Let's say you already know teaching how to play a new person. Like a video game. You already know how to play the game.
I still feel like there's, in order to sit down and have some fun with board games, I feel like there is, and I love board games, and I love Legendary, and it's not an either or, luckily. But I can have introvert time playing video games. You literally can't have introvert time playing video game or playing board games. In addition to which, if I'm feeling social, I can hop on and play some Destiny or Division with my buddies. We can fire up an Xbox party. We can chat and catch up and talk shit and all that stuff. I can get my social interaction and my extrovert time as well as my introvert time with video games. But the same can't be said about board games.
Now, here, counterpoint. I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
I was going to counterpoint, but you go ahead.
No. Just real quick. So how do you both feel about things like the Fantasy Flight Games Center, or The Source, where you can go and play a pickup game with strangers?
Well, I think it's great, but my counterpoint before we get to that is a lot of games these days have a solitaire option.
This is true.
Board games. So, recognizing that's not it for everybody, but if you want introvert time, you can. Hmm. Now, set up a board game and play it yourself. They have most games coming out these days, they have solo rules.
Is the physical setup an impediment? Like the fact that you need physical space and that it takes the time to set it up? Since most board games, even a solo, and you know how to set it up and you've done it before, is going to take you about 10 minutes to set up.
Sure, it can be.
Okay.
It can be. I'm for some people. For me, I've got a dining room table. I got plenty of space. Mm-hmm. As long as you put the game away when you're done, you've got space for the next time.
All right. I feel like there's nothing sadder than a man playing board games alone.
Really?
I just feel...
Even if it's not in his basement.
I don't know.
It's fine.
Okay, so the last board game I tried to play alone was XCOM, the Fantasy Flight game. I love the XCOM
series
of video games.
It's not a game to play alone, P.S. Just everyone, you should know that.
You can play it alone, but...
You can, but you shouldn't.
There's a little app you download on your phone that has certain events in the game are timed. You need to know every role, every card, everything.
Yes.
You need to know this game in and out to play alone. Playing alone is expert mode.
Yes.
Playing a game you could play alone, Arkham Asylum, mm-hmm. where you just play as many different characters or whatever.
Game, you mean?
A board game.
Oh, Arkham Asylum?
Arkham Horror, sorry.
Arkham Horror, yes.
You can play Arkham Horror. Maybe, you know, you just run the roles of a couple different characters.
Sure.
I just feel like it's the point of board games to me is either the competition, the drive to outdo your friends and defeat opponents, or... cooperation. Yeah, we fucking did it together. I don't get those feelings playing those alone.
Is
but
one,
I can from video games.
For closing arguments, I'd like you to address this question. Is one or the other more inherently social?
Well, I certainly believe that board games are more inherently social. Obviously, there are options within video games to engage in social play, but I don't think I don't think the intent of video games is for them to be social. I think that's kind of been built in. Whereas the basic concept of board games is a social interaction.
All right.
It's since board games were invented, it was part of what it was about. You were engaging in a social contract to play this game together.
All right.
I agree. I think that board games are inherently more social, but they're not necessarily better at being social.
All right.
And video games, I can be social with my friends that are a half hour away or 8 hours away.
All right. We're going to go to another roundtable discussion, which is the best Star Trek captain.
Oh!
The best Star Trek captain.
Okay, it's Sisko. Next topic.
Yeah, Sisko. It's Sisko.
Sisko from what?
I'm sorry, I can't disagree with Nick on this.
What?
No, there's no...
How is it not Picard?
Because it's Sisko.
It's Picard.
Picard Sisko. Is a... Well, okay, so...
It's Picard!
Hang on. At a certain point, Sisko does exceed the rank of captain.
Wait, what are we saying? Yeah. Hold on. Maybe we should get into this very quickly. What is best in life? What is best?
What makes a good captain?
What makes a good captain?
Sisko is decisive. He is willing to sacrifice himself for his crew.
Hmm.
He is not afraid to make difficult decisions. He is skeptical of everything, but never... I mean, because, like, from the beginning, he's called the emissary by the
Bajorans.
People, by the Bajorans, and he's like, fuck that shit, I'm not the emissary.
Yeah, you're a religious messiah. No, I'm not.
Interesting.
He really is, but that's not the point. He, at the same time, he's raising his son alone because his wife was killed by the Borg.
Mm.
He's got flaws everywhere because, like, he's got serious, serious biases as a result.
Anger issues. Like Picard post-Borg anger issues.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
He's got problems. The son stuff is some of the least boring children in Star Trek stuff ever.
Yeah.
Because his son becomes an adult on this show. And ends up joining Starfleet Academy.
All right.
And then decides he doesn't want to be in Starfleet.
Mm. And he has to deal with all this shit alone as a father.
All right.
Amazing.
I'm going to say why I think Picard. And a big part of it is because Picard is...
He can play a flute.
He manages to be... So I think the difference is, and I think it's important to look at what came before. So Next Generation was after original Star Trek, and there hadn't been anything else.
Right.
And I think that he was a very direct counter to the quintessential Star Trek captain from before, which is Captain Kirk.
Beam down on a planet and punch an alien and fuck an alien.
Exactly. And right. So as a counter to that, he actually did embody the Prime Directive. He actually did feel that we shouldn't be just willy-nilly messing with things.
Picard is the ambassador.
He's also like the father. He is the patriarch of this ship without being a weird, like, father, like, knows best kind of a thing. People look up to him because he has a quiet dignity. And people look up to him because he leads through a subtlety. He leads through just a confidence. It's not so much that you don't look at him and think, oh, that's a guy that's a military guy. That's a guy that very clearly I would ride behind into battle. Instead, he's smart. He's clever and he's quick. And he's funny and he's caring. So I think he embodies a lot of things that, to me, what makes a great captain is a man that you not only would follow and believe in, but that you also trust to be making the right decisions because he's thought them through, and you actually would also want to go have a beer with him. You know,
I feel like so. Sisko has
it's Picard. He only drinks wine, so right, that's
or Earl Grey hot,
right? Yeah. And so with Sisko,
I like wine. Just
he
saying,
can be
call me.
He can be the diplomat, and he can be the peacetime leader, but. In addition to which, he can be the general. He can be like a wartime.
He still has the wartime ability.
He's a war conciliary. So the amazing thing about
the defiant Sisko, and I mean,
the amazing thing about Sisko is you'll see him in these negotiation situations where he's like being conciliatory. He's offering an opportunity for there not to be war, and yet behind that offer, what you can see is, and if you don't take this, I'm going to fuck your shit up.
Yeah.
All right.
Meanwhile, while they're having like friendly debates and stuff, he's turning around and saying, "You know what we need right now? A ship that can cloak. And fuck the deals we've made with other races. We're not using it against them. We're using it our own deal."
All right,
he can get some shit done.
It's 2-1. I'm gonna have to cede Sisko as the best Sisko Star Trek wins. Captain. All right, now we've got one more to actually discuss. Then I've got a few quick. We'll do a few quick. At the end. All
lightning
right. So one more to actually discuss: Batman versus Superman, the quintessential nerd debate. Batman versus Superman.
I want to start by saying there's an internet rule along the lines of, you know, like Rule 34, if it exists. There is porn of it. There's a comic book character rule, which is Batman, given infinite prep time, can beat anyone.
Well, I could agree with that. And so let's say infinite prep time.
And so what it comes down to straight up is, if Batman is ready for Superman, Superman does not have a chance.
So let's say I'll paint you a scene.
But we're not talking about Batman fighting Superman. This is like hero is better.
Yeah, I'm not talking about fighting. I'm talking about which. So you have a choice. Oh my God, horrible emergency is happening. You can call one hero.
Superman.
Batman or Superman?
Superman. He'll be there and he'll be done.
Yeah. Of course, invincible alien who has like the moral
you
ideal.
You think it doesn't matter what the situation is? You don't even know what's happening.
I think it's fairly irrelevant.
Unless
to someone who's a god.
Is made of kryptonite, you call Superman. Right. You know, because he's super fast.
Now,
he's
what
super
if ever,
strong.
Now, what about this? The enemy that he is going to assume you're going to call Superman. You don't know that they're ready for it or not, but obviously people call Superman.
Is it a problem or a villain that Batman has dealt with at least once in the past or is familiar with and not a surprise?
I'm going to say Batman has dealt with them one time.
Batman.
All right. Now, I'm also going to say you're in Metropolis. You're in Metropolis, but this enemy has to hold
because
on.
Batman can't get there fast
This is
enough.
An enemy that has come from Gotham. No, that's a good point. Batman can't get there fast enough. This is an enemy that has come from Gotham. You're in Metropolis.
But I feel like this debate is really which superhero is better, which is more awesome. So if we're going to go with which superhero is more awesome, I'm going to pick Superman. And the reason I'm going to pick Superman is because he is like this ideal. He's
an alien.
He's a god to humans.
He is
Zeus. He can solve any problem. I mean, the problems that he can't
or
solve
Hercules.
Have to be so insanely powerful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That because like, you know, a bridge collapsing, well, that's a cinch.
Now, what if your problem isn't enough for him to come? This is another thing. So Superman, like, your wife's getting murdered. Sure, that's awful. But, like, Superman, there's also a bridge collapse.
He can do both. That's the thing.
But there's always times where he has to pick.
All right, so hang on. I feel like there's a lot of different Superman, and there's a lot of different Batman.
Plural's making me laugh. For some reason, I feel like it should be Superman's. I don't know why, but it just feels weird.
No, it might be actually. But
Superman is like, oh.
Because with comic book canon, ultimately it comes down to who is writing the comic and what do they want to do and what will their editors allow them to do.
All right.
So I feel like Superman is, unless he's written by the right person, he's boring because he's an invincible god with an impeccable moral code who can do everything.
All right.
And so in the hands of just, you know, Johnny comic writer, average guy, Batman's...
I hate his work.
Batman is far better.
All right,
far more
this?
Interesting.
How about this?
On his own inherently.
I'm going to flip it real quick. Batman versus Captain America.
Cap.
Yeah?
Cap.
Even though Cap's not smart... And doesn't have the gadgets and the money.
Cap is a tactical and strategic genius.
With no gadgets.
Doesn't
Cap,
matter.
No Avengers.
But so is Batman.
So is Batman. Batman's a better detective.
Batman. Batman is the world's greatest detective.
But Cap has the abilities, has superhuman. I mean, not superhuman, but we'll say human plus abilities.
Extra human abilities.
Yeah. I feel like this is a better matchup. Batman.
It is.
Batman versus Cap. It is.
Well, first of all, Batman would never fight or. I mean, if it's a fight. It's irrelevant because Batman would never fight Captain America.
And Captain America would never fight Batman.
It's not a fight.
Yes, he would.
Your wife's getting murdered. You have one phone call. The enemy's like, call who you want and I'll fight your hero of choice.
Cap.
I think Batman.
Yeah?
And the reason I think Batman is because neither Batman nor Captain America would kill the dude who was going to kill my wife. But Batman would fuck him up more. And that to me is a plus.
But Cap would make sure he got arrested.
Cap would fuck him up to the degree that is required. And no more.
That's my point.
All right. I'm going to call it a draw between, right. I think the Batman Superman thing is annoying because agreed. Superman's a god. It's hard to do. All right. So, lightning round. Are you ready? Everyone gets one answer and you have one sentence as to why. Okay.
Yeah, I'm never going to succeed at this. One sentence. Bullshit.
All right. First, space versus the ocean, which is cooler?
Space is literally infinite and contains oceans, therefore space.
I'm going to say oceans, because oceans, we know there's stuff down there we can't see. We literally can't get down there. We cannot send robots down deep enough into the ocean to see the bottom of it. We've sent all sorts of things out into space.
And there's no places out in space that we can't get to.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, this is on our own goddamn planet, and we can't get down there. I think the possibilities of what could be in the ocean are cooler than the possibilities
and
of what
finite.
Might be in space.
Tim?
I choose space because there is so much out there that we don't know and so little in the ocean that we don't know.
Fine, space wins. All right, TARDIS versus the DeLorean. Which is cooler?
The DeLorean's cooler, but the
obviously
TARDIS
we
is
know
better.
One of them's better. I mean, obviously the DeLorean doesn't go through time or space. I mean,
it goes through space as a flying car does, but not.
It doesn't go through space in the sense that, like, you can't take the DeLorean to another planet.
No.
So that's not that.
Yeah.
Which is cooler? Like, which would you rather have?
The DeLorean's cooler.
You'd rather have a DeLorean?
I'd rather have the TARDIS. It has a chameleon circuit.
Well, but it's broken.
Then it could be a TARDIS is a TARDIS. The chameleon circuit on the doctor's TARDIS.
Is it a TARDIS or the TARDIS?
It is a TARDIS.
Yeah, because...
Is it a TARDIS?
We only really know of the one. The other ones are all destroyed. So
no,
the TARDIS.
No, there's... Rainey has one.
No, okay. It is the canonical TARDIS.
Well, then, the TARDIS.
The TARDIS.
Then the TARDIS because the doctor's in it.
There's no doctor. He's dead.
What the fuck?
You just have a TARDIS or you
Here's
just...
Here's the thing.
There's no doc either. There's just a DeLorean.
Allow me to make this argument in one point. Not even the doctor knows how to fly the fucking TARDIS. We can all drive a car.
This is my point. I feel like the TARDIS is with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
And the DeLorean, all I have to do is go make sure my parents fuck. But the TARDIS, there's a race somewhere on a planet that's dying, and if I don't save them,
I would get to that planet and have an already selected space over the ocean.
You're not the doctor.
Interesting.
It doesn't matter if I've got. You're giving me the
an
TARDIS
already selected
then,
space in a ship that you can't pilot.
You're giving me a TARDIS, and then you're saying, "Oh, but you can't work it."
What I'm not saying you can't work it.
This is a monkey's paw offer. It's like, oh, here you can have the TARDIS. Oh, I'm sorry.
How about this?
You don't know how to use it.
I would pick TARDIS if only to leave it parked and use it as an apartment and storage space because it's infinite on the inside.
Well, that's pretty cool, too.
Final one. This is an easy one for me. I know. Marvel versus DC. One sentence as to why.
I have a prepared answer for this.
All right.
Because this comes up. DC for self-contained or one-shot stories... Marvel for continuity and characters.
All right.
You know, I was going to say practically the same thing. There are one-off stories in DC that are amazing, but the universe of Marvel is better. And I guess my other because is because Spider-Man's my favorite superhero and he's Marvel.
I'm going to say Marvel over DC because Marvel's characters have shades of gray, villains and heroes. DC's characters are always more black and white. The evil guys are super evil and crazy. The good guys are so good they're boring. And they have strict, perfect morality and they never make mistakes.
That's because they're gods.
Yep. All right.
Yeah.
All right. This has been... Mini Geek Debate.
Mini
Thank
geek
you,
debate.
Everybody.
Yeah.
If you have disagreements, we're guessing you do because we even did. So let us know what you're thinking. What did you think? Marvel versus DC, Star Trek versus Star Wars, Space versus the Ocean, Batman versus Superman, or Batman versus Captain America, your favorite doctor, board games / tabletop games versus video games, having a TARDIS versus having a DeLorean, and who is the best Star Trek captain? I'd like to thank you guys for listening. We are ready for five questions.
Five questions.
Five right, questions.
Question number one. Oh, where are they coming from?
Oh, yeah. I should probably know that. They are coming from Singin Greed. Yep, Singin Greed. I might be saying that wrong, but
could
that
be
is I, it could be Singin and it could be Greed.
Oh, I think it's Singin.
It might be Singin. Yeah. Yep. All right.
Question number one. What is a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
I would stop and watch The Shadow with Alec Baldwin.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
This movie is one of the few memories of my childhood that was happy with my blood family.
All I can think of is that claymation knife face that's like...
Yeah, you know, well, that, it's great that that's a good memories.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
So question number two, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
My geekiest prized possession is my Red Lantern ring.
Mm. Ooh.
It helps me remember to stay calm when I start getting unreasonably angry.
Rage.
That is
Rage.
Good.
Nice.
That
Otherwise
is
you'll start vomiting magical blood into people's faces and turn them.
Or
so.
You'll turn into a cat.
Yeah,
an
or
angry
you'll turn
cat.
Into a cat.
An angry cat.
The cat died.
Angry,
I'm so
angry
sad.
Red Lantern cat.
Question number three, which supernatural, magical, or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
Wizards! I want wizards to be real!
Yay! Oh, yeah.
Not the, ooh, I need to be born special kind of wizards. The anyone can study and do magic kind
academic
of wizards.
Academic magic.
Who doesn't want to do magic?
I like academic magic because it's a matter of, like, it's nerd.
It is
it's
nerd.
It's so nerd. Like,
if you're willing to put in the
if
work.
If you can get into Harvard, you can summon a demon.
Yep, like. Totally.
All right, question.
Because stupid people are barred from it automatically.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And the illiterate.
Oh, yeah.
Which
might
be classist.
Number four. We're on question number four. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
The biggest problem would be the glorification of stupid and the vilification of the smart. And yes, I realize that religion helps promote this.
No.
But I agree that is a problem we have, religion or no. Even
you just said that the other day.
I did.
We don't trust intellectuals. Humans don't trust smart people.
What's mm-hmm. your college boy?
Yeah. Just last night I said, I can't imagine where we'd be as a country if college boy had never become an insult. If the idea was being smart is better.
Or one of you the think biggest, you're smarter than me?
Yeah.
One of the biggest insults to liberals is that they are elites. And by elites, it means educated.
Yeah, that when they said that about Obama, that made me insane. It was like, don't you want the president to be the best of us?
We don't trust people that are more educated than us. That's a great answer.
Yep,
I love
absolutely.
That. Question number five is, what is your favorite quote?
My favorite quote is the Bene Gesserit Litany Against Fear from the Dune miniseries. I will not fear. Fear is the mind killer. I will face my fear. I will let it pass through me. Where the fear has gone, there shall be nothing. Only I will remain.
I'm just the Dune miniseries. I'm just gonna. Are you just like saying the miniseries on TV? It was in the book.
I think St. John means the series. The series
All
is
right.
my guess. I'm guessing it was
the
a translation. My guess is it's a translation. I'm not sure. St. John, I'm not sure if English was your first language, but my guess is maybe it was just a
if that
typo.
Is your name, because we could be pronouncing it completely
wrong. We could.
Wrong.
It could be Sangen. It could be a lot of things.
And we could mangle it in other ways.
God,
yes.
You're such assholes.
If you don't want us to mangle your name, send us your answers to the five questions and, I don't know, spell your name phonetically.
The pronunciation, guys.
But thank you very much. You know, we are really running low on questions. I know we keep saying that, but I'm not kidding. We have only five people in the queue. So if you want to answer, let us know. If you are just like, your questions are dumb and I don't want to answer them, tell us that too, because then we'll know that we should change it up. But I'm just saying, even better, answer them and then tell us they're dumb.
Yeah.
We'd prefer that.
Yeah, that's good.
Has been Mini Geek Debate. We've been Geeks Without God. Guys, I've got exciting news.
What's that?
What?
We're on Stitcher.
What?
Yeah.
We just got on Stitcher. So Stitcher is a way that you can get podcasts aside from iTunes or an RSS feed or through our own website. A lot of people that use Android or Samsung phones use it. Non-iPhone users have it. And we've we've actually had a lot of people ask us about it, but just recently we were able to apply, because there's an application process if you don't know that. Not just anyone can be on Stitcher. So we are there. We'd love for you to rate us.
Well, I mean, now that we're on Stitcher, anyone can be on Stitcher.
Yeah, no, yeah. I promise. It's definitely not anything on it. Also, please, like, ratings are great for us on Stitcher. It helps us out, and it makes them know they made the right choice when they let us assholes on there.
Especially as a new podcast.
Yeah, especially as a new podcast. We are nearing our 200th episode, just so you know. We've got some really cool stuff planned, so stick around and stay tuned to find out what that is. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, tweet at us, comment to us. We love to hear from you guys. And as always, thank you. Woo. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you were ready to rumble.
I wasn't ready.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I love saying cunt.